GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Hello and welcome to the Hurling Show on Off the Ball. If hurling is your religion, well, welcome to the ultimate altar, because we're broadcasting live from the Boyle Sports Box at Croke Park. We're broadcasting live across all our social media channels. We're on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to get any comments into us, we'll do our best to read them out over the course of the show. It's been an incredible weekend so far for hurling snobbery. Clare and Galway played out an absolute classic last night. And we're here to preview Cork versus Limerick as well today. We're joined by three greats of the game. First of all, beside me here, I have a man who has won two All-Irelands, five Munsters and five All-Stars. Paddy Maher, how are you doing?
How are you doing? Things?
Not too bad. What did you make of that classic last night?
Yeah, it was, I suppose, still trying to get your head around it. I had to watch it a second time last night before coming up today. But yeah, another classic. It's just the way the championship has gone this year. We're kind of expecting them each day now as it comes. So, unbelievable game, and more to look forward to next weekend again, I think. Mm.
Beside him, I have Dan Shanahan, four Munster titles, 2007 Hurler of the Year, and three All-Stars. How are you doing, Dan?
Good, Shane, thanks.
Yeah, so you've been against Clare this year, today Limerick and Cork as well. I mean, what are your thoughts on the championship so far this year?
Yeah, it's been great, to be honest. I think there could have been a break thrown in between the games to give lads a recovery, like, you know, but the four best teams were in the semi-finals, and you saw the game yesterday, run separate, they didn't, after extra time, and they were great games, like, you know, 130 apiece is fair scoring, like, you know, and the intensity of the game, and look, they must go next week and do it again. It's going to be tough for both teams.
And finally, we have a man who's won nine All-Stars, 2009 Hurler of the Year, Tommy Welch. Tommy, how are you doing?
Yeah, how are you doing, Shane?
Good. So talk to us about last night. You've played in some epics at Croke Park. Where does that rank?
Yeah, definitely one of the best. I suppose all week, I've never seen such excitement around an All-Ireland semi-final, which was today. This was the big match, Cork versus Limerick. I think everyone was kind of expecting really Galway to go on and win yesterday, because they got their scare the first day against Kilkenny in the Leinster final. Went, 1-7 to a point up, and you're kind of thinking at that stage, geez, I hope Clare come back here and just make the scoreline look respectable. And by God, did they come back. Like, Conlon in the second half, Peter Duggan. Like, will we ever see a better pint in Croke Park? Like, you know, that's one to show the young lads, because that's like, say, Brazilian football back in the day when, you know, real kind of street footballers. These are like hurlers that live in the back garden at home. That's where they develop all those skills. And I thought that pint from Duggan yesterday, like, that would have made the match a heroic match on its own.
Dan, would you have ever got a score anything close to that?
I hope, Shane, to be honest.
You were more of a man, catch it close to goal and just smash it in.
Catch a ball and bury it, as simple as that. But no, it was unbelievable score. The scores that we got yesterday from both teams were classic. I mean, Galway would be disappointed so with 16, maybe 17 wides on the day in the first 60 or 70 minutes, like, you know. But again, the way Clare adapted to the game in after 10 minutes was sort of a credit to them and their management, and what they did, like, you know, they brought Tony Kelly to midfield, put Galvin back maybe in between the half back line and full back line, and on they went from that, like, you know, and you must admire them for that, like, you know. But I think Galway had one or two goal chances before that, if they'd got him. Johnny Glynn definitely had a chance there. He kind of panicked a bit, rushed it, and the hand pass that Cathal Mannion nearly got, he got a point out of it. There are two half chances in big games, you have to take them.
Yeah, like last year, you were in an All-Ireland final as part of the management team with Derek McGrath, and with 10 minutes to go, yourselves and Galway were level. Now they just about squeaked home. Yeah. How big a task was that for Clare to push them that close?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of hype on Galway this year, Shane, to be honest. They've been All-Ireland champions, been the team to beat, if you're being honest about it. They were favourites going into the game. Kilkenny rattled them in the Leinster final, like, you know, and again rattled them in Turles, like, you know, in the replay. And, you know, the one thing you have to do against Galway, and the boys might disagree or agree, is you have to run them, to be honest with you. If you go fucking long balls down top of their big men, they're going to go into the tackle with them. They're going to win 50-50 tackles. I thought Clare worked the ball brilliantly in stages yesterday, like, you know, two, he got caught for a few puck outs, but after that, he nailed a few of them, like, giving it to the spare man and worked the ball up. Tony Kelly came to midfield and really, really showed what he can do around the middle of the field when he gets space, like, you know.
You've had some huge clashes against Galway in the last few years. Can you talk to us what it's like playing against them? And also, as a Tipperary person, it's often mentioned that Tip haven't retained the All-Ireland in 50-odd years or whatever it is. How tough is it for Galway that, you know, the focus is on you now, you are the favourite and everyone is hyping you up?
Yeah, I suppose it's one thing we always found difficult in Tipperary. I suppose you don't want to read too much into it, but people keep saying it here. But I think Galway have been kind of going about their business very well this year. You know, it took the league low-key enough. I suppose they're still in 1B. They probably do want to get out of that, but it didn't seem to bother them too much. To retain the Leinster title then against, like, Kilkenny, put them to the pin of their collar. But the way they played there for the first 20-25 minutes in the replay against Kilkenny was outstanding, you know. And again yesterday, you know, the first 15-20 minutes, their work rate was just ferocious. Like, just sitting back watching on the television was just like, these Clare lads having no hope. Like, that's the way I was thinking. But again, they made the switch back to the old Davy Fitz tactics, I think, of back in 2013. And that got him over, that got him out of jail, and he nearly got him over the line. So again, to be interesting to see what they do next week, they'll probably have to stick with that kind of system. But again, Galway, I think, you know, if they can get the injuries that they have pulled through for next weekend, I think they will still have enough to beat Clare. But it's going to be very difficult for them, especially if they have an injury or two.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because Dahi Burke was carrying an ankle injury the whole way throughout, gave another heroic performance. Joe Canning didn't finish the game. Davy Burke didn't finish it. Neither did Gerard McInerney. Is that the measure of the panel that Galway have? And, you know, that they didn't just back down when they saw their leaders head off the field.
Yeah, you know, you said you probably named their best, their four biggest names. Like, you know, David Burke, their captain, Joe Canning, their on-field leader. Like, you know, Gerard McInerney, he's become one of them as well the last two or three years. And then Conor Whelan is just now standing forward. He can work, he can hook, he can block, he can score, he can do everything. Like, you know, so see them players go off. You know, in a way, I suppose it can drive a team too, knowing that you have to step up now and it's my turn. And you know, the Galway lads did that, and they nearly won it, and Clare got the last puck of the game to draw, as we've seen. But again, it's going to be very interesting. Can them lads pull through next weekend? Because no matter how good a panel you have, you still want your best players in the field, and that's what Galway will be hoping to do for next week.
Dan, the word out there is you can't win an All-Ireland with a sweeper. Like, you've obviously played under Davy Fitz. You've managed against him. You watched his Wexford team, and yourself and Derek McGrath have employed it as well. I just want to read a quote from a Jackie Tyrrell article last week. He says, "I think it was kind of proven over the last few years, and I would like to think the death of it was this year. Maybe it won't be, but it does have a role in the sense that I can see why teams would use it to create a sense of unity. If the team are conceding a lot, build the confidence and bring it to a certain level. But if you're ambitious and want to win an All-Ireland and want to break into the top six or five nucleus, the sweeper isn't for you." What are your thoughts on that?
Ah, sure, Jackie's entitled to his own opinion there. Shane, to be honest with you, like, you know, but sometimes you have to play to your strengths, Shane, and by dropping a fella back sweep, and sometimes when in some of the games we didn't really play a sweeper. We just had one of our lads sitting deep and other lads come back to help out and working hard is like that. But I'm glad Parry mentioned Davy Fitz and not Derry McGrath, because he usually got all the blame for the sweeper thing, like, you know, and when it was bought in. But no, it's just something that you try to play to your strengths, to be honest with you. It's hard to play for a full forward to play inside in his zone, but if the lads are quick enough in the half forward line to get in and have to get in to give him a hand, it works. We've scored more last year, if you look at the stats, than we ever did when I was playing.
A lot of that was when Cork were down to 14 men, though. You got
probably,
3-8.
But they weren't always down to 14 men, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it was just the way we played, and we got 120-something. That'll win a lot against you, like, you know, and... Look, Derek is probably known this more than I do, that we won a lot of games last year scoring high, getting big scores by playing sometimes a sweeper. But it's sometimes you have to go win your battles too, and you play to your best. I thought Clare yesterday, it worked for them when they dropped their man back. You saw it didn't work for the first 20 minutes, but the minute Galvin went back doing his job there and Tony came to midfield, they kind of let loose a bit. Like, you know, they were down by 6 or 7 points. They said they're nothing to lose here by making that, I thought, and they pushed on and give a great account to themselves.
Tommy, I wouldn't imagine you're a man for the sweeper, but what I'd say you are is big into the man v man stuff, and no better man than Dahi Burke. Like, incredible at times last night. John Conlon got a few scores, but Dahi Burke must be up there with your favourite hurlers.
Ah, yes. I think it's well known at this stage of great time for Dahi Burke. You see, I suppose it goes back down to the ability to win your own ball, like, and that's not just winning in the air. It's when your man is out in front, yeah. Maybe when you're out in front. Dahi seems to be able to play it any way you like, and proven that over the last 2 years. Then he was given the biggest challenge of all. Is it a sprained ankle or a fractured leg or something yesterday? All the rumours was he was out. He's the foundation of their team. Suddenly the confidence was starting to drain from the supporters. What's going to happen if Dahi Burke's out? He bandages it up, you can't even see the bandage, and hurls a stormer again. Now, John Conlon, in fairness to him, like, you're not going to keep he's in the running for hurler of the year at the moment, it has been all year, so you're not going to keep these guys scoreless or out from play. But I thought Dahi Burke is just his leadership, and like, that seeps down through the team. Like, if you're, say, Joe Canning, if you're Gerard McInerney this week, you got your injury yesterday, what's the first thing that's going through your head? Our best player, Dahi Burke, went through the wars last week, strapped it up and just got on with it. And listen, if he had to go off then, he had to go off. So I guarantee you, to those boys that are injured, what Doughty Bourke did for yesterday's semi-final will be an inspiration to him. And I thought Micheál O'Donoghue spoke brilliantly after the game. It was put to him about his injuries. And it was like he didn't even know about him. It was like he said, listen, we've a 30, 34-man team. The boys were great and all, but if they're out, they're out. We'll assess it when it happens. But basically, we're going to be ready for next Sunday. And it's that kind of talk. It's that kind of leadership from your top guys. It has to start from the top. So that will seep through to that Galway team. And yeah, they might be without lads, but I think they've proven, this Galway team, that they have spirit, they have guts, they have everything. Because Paddy spoke about Tipperary, you know, finding it difficult to win the two in a row. To win one All Ireland is so hard. It's so, so hard. And to win two in a row when, you know, things are going well for you, you know, that little bit of an edge mightn't be there, and to still win them matches. And Galway have come back and come back and come back. So, yeah, I think Doughty Bourke, I was shouting for him yesterday, like, for, you know, what the wars he went through, like.
And Dan, how difficult is it, you know, when you have a huge amount of injuries, as Watford did this year to tie to Burka, and you can keep listing them off? You were without eight players at one stage, I'd imagine, including suspensions. How tough is it for you to just say, well, forget that, we'll park it, we're still going to be putting 15 out in the field?
Yeah, it's tough, Shane, but as Tommy said there, like, there's 33 lads training, like, you know, and it's up to the boys then when they get the opportunity to come in and start. It's devastating when you lose Ty Burka above his clear to a serious injury. He's gone for the year. Your main cog of your six packs, like, he's an outstanding player back there. Whether he's sweeping or man marking, he can do everything. Barry Coughlin, who gets no credit at all, and I can assure you, he's one of the toughest fellas you'd ever mark in a full back position. Jonathan Lynn this year has caused serious problems. Barry last year, he was taken off Barry. So Austin wasn't 100% fit. So you just have to deal with him, to be honest with Shane. And as I said, that's why you have a plan. We brought on one or two lads this year, and maybe they wouldn't have got a chance if the boys were fit, the DJ Forns, the Tommy Ryans, and they did exceptionally well in the games they played, like, you know. And again, it's hard. As I was talking to Tommy here, you can only name 26, like, when you have 33 being talked out, but he opens the door for other lads to make opportunities and take them when lads are injured.
I think, Shane, that the Galway lads might be able to take, you know, some sort of experience or encouragement from what Watford did, because when he got all them injuries, was it Tipperary he played next?
Yeah.
And could have bet him with all them guys out. So they'll probably try and, Micheál Donoghue might try and sell that to the lads. Listen, lads, forget about the injuries. Look what Watford done.
And like Tip probably played beneath themselves this year, but, you know, just talking about that, you were here in that Watford without players. Does that seep into your mindset that maybe you won't be at 100% because your eye has gone off the ball a little bit, thinking I will surely beat this version of Watford?
To be honest with you, not really. I suppose we were going third week in the trot, so we didn't much time to think about anything. But no, we were just trying to concentrate on our own game. But like, I suppose the likes of my own brother Rowan and the lads are kind of around the same age. They would have played against DJ Fawn and the lads below and Walsh Park in the Munster final, I think a year or two before that, and like they would have beaten the lads pretty handy enough, like, you know. So we knew what these lads were capable of, and I think them Waterford lads actually showed that day, like DJ Four and lads actually were very good that day against us. And again, just I don't know how we got back, but I suppose we got the help of a refereeing decision. Was it there?
That was definitely it, wasn't it? That Jason Ford free definitely across the line. Dan,
we'll take any we can get.
I suppose when your luck is in, and that was look that day. As Paul, like you said there, like DJ Foran stood up to the mark that day, like, you know. And when you're going into them games, Shane, and the lads know as well, there's no pressure on some of the lads when you're missing so many key players. You can go to you can play relaxed, like, you know, and there's no pressure. We're expected to be beaten because we are missing so many players. And we know in our own dressing room, our own four walls, that what we have inside are is good enough to beat any team on their day, like, you know. And it just didn't happen for us that day. Like, we all know what happened that day, like, you know, as in that good, the ghost goal or whatever it is. Austin was adamant, and we all know it was no. But again, we parked it, we got on with it for the week after, and we got a listen against Limerick. But we were mature enough to park it and get on with it.
We'll come back a bit more to Waterford's here, but just to box off the Clare and Galway game last night, who do you think is going to win the replay, Tommy? And why?
I tipped Clare last week. I don't know why. it's so hard to predict these matches this year. Like, there's just so, you know, there's nothing between any of them. But I just felt when Clare came in as underdogs, it was a great chance for them. And they loved it. Like, they have great memories of Croke Park. They haven't been here in 5 years, but when they've been here, they have such fabulous memories. And like, you have to replay back that All-Ireland final. Went Cork off sideline with time up, say, of the injury time, the 2 or 3 minutes in 2013. They hit the ball wide, which usually the referee blows the whistle. Ball goes down, Donal O'Donovan puts it over the bar. So yesterday, the very same thing happened. Galway got a sideline, put the ball wide, and, you know, you'd be thinking the referee is going to blow the whistle. But probably because of what happened a few years ago, they said, listen, he might give us one more chance. Sharp puck out, up the field, and Jason McCarthy put the ball over. So I reckon that a lot of that was from the memories they had of 5 years ago. Lads, we're not gone here. We can do it again. So the momentum is definitely way clear. But I think Galway, because now Everton's going against them, I think we'll see a real edge to Galway. Now, there was an edge to him yesterday, especially in the first half. I think we'll see a massive edge to Galway the next day. It's kind of us against the world. Injuries are going against us. And they're such great players. Like, they're a fabulous team. So I think Galway the next day.
Dan, Michal Donoghue will be prepared for Colm Galvin probably starting as a sweeper this time. So how will that affect it, and who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, again, a different game, Shane. Will they go with seven at the back? Like, you know, will he go man to man again? It's on in Turles as well. We're clear. The last time we were there, we were beaten, I think, one day, and Galway won their Leinster title up there. Like, you know, so it's a different game. Whereas, if you look at it, Clare have gained respect. Now, we always had my respect because they're a good team. You play sharp ball against these. They have a hell of a good player, Shane O'Donnell, Tony Kelly, John Conlon at the moment, like, you know, and Young Duggan at wing forward. They're absolutely flying. So they have to carry the ball to Galway. They have an exceptional chance. But the pressure, the element of surprise is gone now with Clare. I think there's more in the Galway forwards, if I'm honest, Jim, more from the Coonies and a few more of the lads, like, you know, and in there, and Young Bourke midfield again, like, there's more of them. But it's going to be interesting, as Tommy said, how will they deal if Joe Canning is missing, if McInerney is missing? Do you know, will they start Conlon in the full forward, or will they put Shane O'Donnell in there? I've no doubt there'll be changes next week to different personnel, but it's a hard one to call, to be honest with you. But I just think if what Tommy said there, if the boys are injured, I think they have the panel of players to push on and get a result. It's going to be a tough game again because Clare will smell blood now, Shane, to be honest with you. And it's a hard game to call. And with going from the experience maybe that Galway have winning in Turles, it might be a small thing, but it could get them over the line.
Paddy, Clare ended Tipperary season. Do you see them ending Galway's?
I just have a feeling that Galway might have something that they might some major next week. You know, I felt when Kilkenny got the draw here the first day, I said Galway are going to really come at them the next day, and they did for the first half, and that kind of killed off the game. I just feel that Galway, you know, taking that Joe Canning and McInerney will be fit to play. I just think they're going to bring something special next week. You know, they know they can step up from the Leinster final replay to the replay, so I think they'll do the same next week. And look, they'll have to use the ball a bit better. Like when Clare did revert back to Galvin going back as a sweeper, I remember watching it last night, like Aidan Hart and the Galway lads just got the ball and kept lumping it down, and the Clare lads are picking up runs. So if they lose the ball a bit more cuter the next day, I think that Galway will have too much for Clare.
Right. We're going to tee up the other semi-final in a little bit while, but keep your comments coming in on social media here. We've got a nice comment in from AJ on Twitter. Jesus, Dan looks like Steven Seagal. Is that the look he's going for?
Could have picked a better person than Steve Seagal.
Johnny Cash or something like that would have been a bit different. Fairer, lads. Whereas Tommy looks like, yeah, I'm one of the greatest, but I keep it on the down low. So Tommy, there you go.
Tommy's dressed well today.
Tommy, can you talk to us about a lot of these Limerick guys today are going to be playing their first senior game at Croke Park. Maybe four of them played in the semi-final 4 years ago. Seamus Hickey is the only player on the panel with a senior championship win here. What was it like trying to prepare for your first big game at Croke Park?
Yeah, well, my first big day in Croke Park was minor Leinster final against Wexford back in 2001. And remember coming up, and that was the dream from being so young, like 4 or 5 years of age. But when I came up here, it was the old pitch. And the old pitch here before 2002 was tiny, and it was like a club pitch. There was bumps and there was hollows in it. You felt like you were out in kind of nearly an underage pitch because the crowd were starting to come in on top of you as well at the same time. So that was my first experience thinking, oh no, this place, because I never liked the big spaces. I liked it nice and tight and get stuck
where
in
you
that
could
way.
Sledge it.
So when I saw how small it was, I was absolutely over the moon. And, you know, our first day up there as a young person, we won a Leinster championship. So I always have happy memories. But the new pitch then came in 2002, and I was a sub that year. So my first year playing, it was 2003, Leinster final again. And I was wing forward, so it wasn't too bad, but I just remember this place is so big. So I'd say for any of the guys, now a lot of them probably played with the Piercy and maybe played minor, but any of the guys that haven't played in Croke Park before, the first thing I think that will hit them, especially the backs, is this place is massive. And I hope a slow lad comes in on me because I don't fancy going running around after any of these speedsters. So it will be tough, but sometimes, do you know what? when you go to somewhere you've never been before, you don't even think, and you just go and you just play as if you're at home in the back garden. So I think the first time is nearly always the easiest, and I'd say they will play like guys, you know, on their birthdays today, and I'd say Limerick will definitely come with all guns blazing today.
Dan, do you remember your first game here?
Yeah, 1998. 1998, a bit like against Galway. The week before we were beaten in the Munster final against Clare. That dirty game in 98, and we came out the week after. We'd be actually as underdogs, going the same way maybe Clare came in yesterday as no chance whatsoever, and we got caught Galway on the hop. And that was my first big day in Croke Park, I suppose, like, you know.
Paddy, what was yours?
2006 minor semi-final. I was actually marking Richie Hogan. We were playing Kilkenny, so...
Handy enough,
yeah. I had to learn the hard way coming up. Joe Canning the following week then, so...
Oh, lovely.
It just got better and better. So, yeah, same thing. You're kind of coming up. Again, it's what you dream of. And there's no doubt about it. For me, it was bags of nerves because 17-year-old coming up and into a minor game. And we hadn't won the Munster final, so we were kind of... You know, kind of feel like we were battling against all odds, but we actually beat Kilkenny that day. But again, marking a top player like that, and they're coming up, you just kind of hold your own and come over here, not too much damage done, as they say.
So just to reflect on Tipperary's year this year, league final defeat to Kilkenny and no wins in the Munster Championship. So how do you look back on it?
Yeah, I suppose from looking back, I think ever since. The league semi-final against Limerick, when it went to extra time and we just barely got over the line, I think everything's been a struggle since, and I suppose losing Kilkenny down Lowland Park didn't really help matters, and you know, I suppose we're kind of just fighting our fires from there on in, and we just weren't clicking at all this year for whatever reason or another. I think the long league run that didn't help us, and again, we'd such a kind of a new kind of team out for a lot of the league. We kind of went with it for the first round of the championship, and then we changed up again, so we were never really that settled. So I felt that kind of came against us as we went on. You know, we were chopping, changing a lot, and you know, like lads can say, you need a big panel and you need a full panel of players to win this championship. But if you look at the Clare team, if you look at the Galway team, Cork team, the Limerick team, they haven't changed. I'd say, unless barring injuries or one or two lads are on unbelievable form, haven't changed their teams even throughout the league, right up. And I'd say even yourselves in Waterford don't change too much either, unless you have to. Like, so there has to be a lot to be said for a consistent team. I don't think we kind of had that this year. But not saying that's an excuse. We just weren't on the game this year, and it just didn't work out for us at all.
See, the thing that people forget when they're trying to test out panels and that is, like, you have your star players and your players that are playing the whole time. They need confidence too. So they might be, not picked for two or three games to give a new lad a chance, but then he gets picked then 4 or 5 weeks later, but he has no confidence of form to build on. Like, you get your form from January, from February. Like, you can't you have a great game, say you're playing, say Tipper playing Cork in a Southeast League or whatever it's called now in January, and you have a brilliant game, say you're marking Harrandy or someone like that. Like, you'll bring that right through the championship with you. And if you're not playing in these games, where are you going to pick up your form? And doesn't matter, or your confidence, doesn't matter if you're 20 or 28. Players get confidence from playing matches. And that's the thing, I suppose, sometimes is missed out on when you're trying to pick a big panel and giving lads chances during the league. What about the guys that get their form from playing matches? And, you know, because say you're not playing, and suddenly the new lad coming in has a few good games. Suddenly you're starting to doubt yourself then, saying, geez, you know, I need to pick it up, and you're nearly trying too hard. So, you know, that's the first time I heard, but there's a lot to be said for it from a player's point of view.
Yeah, and it'd be very, like, looking back on the season, obviously it wasn't a good season for Tipperary, I suppose. Mick Ryan not talking to the media after one of the games didn't help. And then last week it was revealed that Brezzy, Niall Breslin, the pop star, I suppose, is maybe a term to use for him. But, like, people, it'd be very easy to come down hard and say, oh, that sounds silly. You know, why would you get someone like that in? But maybe he's, like, mindfulness is what he was brought in for. Maybe he's highly qualified at it. Maybe he's very good at it. So it would probably be very easy to poke fun at it. But can I ask you, what was the effect with Brezzy this year? What was he brought in to do with you?
Yeah, it was only kind of late on in the year. Probably halfway through the Munster Championship that he came on board there. We, like, it's known that we Tony O'Gregan with us and Jerry Hussey, like, and they've been with us for a couple of years, but he's doing a bit of work with them, so he just came on board as well. And he's just, again, it's just, I think every team is these kind of, the fellas, you know, sports psychologists or lads talking about meditation, and I think it's more individual than for team, really. Like some lads it suits, some lads it doesn't. Like I know myself, I'd rather just left my own devices the week of a game and go to your own routine. Other lads might like to be talking to these kind of fellas, to getting them tuned in, making sure they're ticking all the right boxes. But again, he was just, again, mindfulness, this thing about, you know, relaxation and thinking about the game when you're supposed to be thinking, and switching off when you're not thinking about the game. So again, look, it's for different fellas, and some lads like it, some lads don't. The younger lads might be just left to their own devices, maybe. They have no baggage with them. They just want to go out and hurl. As Tommy said, the minors today will just go out and hurl, not thinking about anything. The new lads in the Limerick team are similar. Whereas it could be the lad that's 26 or 27 years of age that may have doubts, and, you know, the confidence might be that high. Maybe he's the lad that talks to these fellas, but again, everyone to their own. Like, and again, he was just in to help out Tony Ogan and the lads, and maybe to change direction. He certainly wasn't in singing for us anyway, Shane. Sure,
I imagine not. Because I think he was involved with Leinster rugby underage as well. But were there any raised eyebrows both inside or outside the camp, you know, when you see a musician coming in to help out a sports team?
Yeah, I suppose. Well, it was. He explained really what his background was. We know he's the singer, and I don't know, is it some Ireland's Vice or Ireland's... Yeah. Irish,
and you know sure, better than us.
Yeah, I don't know, but the Vice, yeah.
You know, you're just pretending that you don't know.
I don't watch it at all on a Sunday night. But no, basically, he came in and explained, look, his background there, he just explained that, you know, he's gone through severe injuries in his career, and that's what ruled him out rugby, and he's gone doing several Ironmans and stuff. So he's just kind of using that background. But again, as I said, how he came too late in the championship for us, you know, the damage was kind of done at the start of it, you know, so we were kind of chasing our tail after that. But it's been interesting to see if he came in November, December of a year, how you fare out with lads. But again, for us, it came that bit too late.
And for 2019, are you optimistic that Tip can right the wrongs and get more out of the team? Because it just seems like you're falling far short of your potential.
Yeah, look. Obviously, enough, we have a lot of work to do, and you can see the teams here, the four teams here this weekend, Kilkenny, you know, Wexford, and we're not even talking about ourselves or Waterford there. Like, it's gone so even, like, you know. And for me, I thought Galway were a step above everyone else, and then you see what happened yesterday. So, like, it just shows how even it is. But definitely, we have room to improve. We just have to get our heads screwed on again and get back down to work. We don't even know what the story is next year or anything like that. But look, that's out of our hands. But look, we'll just knuckle down again come November, December. We'll be waiting for a call, and hopefully we'll get one.
Speaking of hurling, Tommy, were you not supposed to be hurling this morning?
Well, yeah, but sure. As you know, I'm injured at the moment, so it's not a fake injury either, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. It was supposed to be last night, so obviously we ended with the show today, and then the match got switched to this morning, so... Yeah, but I'm better off anyway, because people are depressed looking at it there on the line, so they're probably better off with me up here.
And Dan, you're still hurling.
Yeah.
I don't want to say your age, I'm almost afraid to.
No, it's 98 nearly ends of that, it's yeah, but no, I'm still hurling, yeah, where I come from.
Catching Canada. Baddies on boats as well.
No comment. No, yeah, I'm still enjoying it, Shane, to be honest with you. The numbers aren't great down where I come from in Lismore, and look, I met Justin McCarthy here a couple of weeks ago, and the one thing he advised me to do was keep playing as long as you can, because it'll come a time when you'll pack it up and you'll have nothing to do. So at the moment, the old legs and the knees are good, so they are, thank God. Like, you know, I don't touch wood, I've never suffered any serious injuries in cruciates or immediates or just a few ankle ligaments, and I'm lucky enough that I enjoy it still. Like, you know, it's trained last night. It was hard enough when you're trying to play catch up to an 18-year-old or 19-year-old. You think you can still catch him, but you can't. But
just catch the ball over his head.
That's all, Tommy. Staying behind him in the hope that you can get the break off him, because there's no way to catch him chasing him. But no, I still enjoy it. Like, you know, I'm able to do it, and so I am. And to be able to do something at that age and enjoy it, yeah, long may it last, Shaney.
We'll talk a little bit more about both your years shortly. But Tommy, just before you go, can you tell us what your thoughts on Limerick Cork today and how you think it'll go?
Yeah, well, listen, they're both kind of similar enough regards, I'd say, age-wise and experience-wise. Momentum is seriously with both of them. But the one thing, you know, Dan speaks about Waterford playing to their strengths. Like, that's the one thing I would definitely say about the Cork team. They seem to be playing to their strengths. They tried a few years ago there to either go physical or go sweep, or try both of them, didn't work. So they said, what are we good at? We have small players, we have fast players, we have guys that have blitz you with skill. So they went back and they played that way, because that's what they have at the moment. So now you see Nash's puck outs. We've seen him in the intermediate final last year up here for Kanturk. Like, he can just create scores out of nowhere, because if you have the movement going on in the forward line, he's able to pick you out. And I know as a backman, especially on the half-back line, that's impossible nearly to defend. So I think Cork, just the way they're playing, you know, you have Horgan. He's already, after taking over Christy Ring, as the all-time leading scorer. You have Lahan, you know, turns it on in the big days. Last year, he had a big injury in one of the big Munster games last year. Was he playing? Was he not? Turns up and nearly plays man of the match again. You have leaders like that, let alone Harnedy. Like, I know Harnedy is doubtful today, but I've no doubt in my mind he's going to play. He's after scoring 1-3, 1-4 in every game this year, bar the Limerick game. So even if he does miss out, it's not that big for Cork, because, you know, he didn't score a whole lot the last time they played. But I think Cork will do it today. You know, all, you know, earlier on in the week, you know, in my head I was thinking Limerick, because when you analyse it, I think they're brilliant at defending as well as attacking. They play the lovely diagonal ball as well. But just me gut just is feeling, I'm feeling Cork. Just everyone, like, the pain of last year has to stand for something. Like, we all know what that means. When you are hurt so badly, and they were stung badly by last year's All-Ireland semi-final against Waterford, they will come here, and I'd say they won't even be thinking. They'll be just like, you know, look, just let me out there. And I'd say even in the warm-up, just waiting for the final whistle, in the parade, or the starting whistle. So I'd say Cork will be just pumped to the gills here today, and I'm expecting a shootout. And yeah, we'll see.
Well, thanks very much, Tommy. I know you have to head away now. And in your place, we're going to bring in Leon Blanche of Boyle Sports. Leon, how are you doing?
Doing well after yesterday's result.
Yeah, Shane. I'd say you were. Did you cash in?
Should we be in the job for another week anyway?
You will. So talk to us. What way do you see this game going?
God, after yesterday, I was with Clare plus four. That's the bet I done yesterday. I thought it was a big start. After the first 15 minutes, I thought my dough was done. But these two lads, it's been to and fro in terms of who's going to start favourite. And at the moment, there's no favourite. It's 11-10, your pick, Cork and Limerick. Bit of money for the draw. No surprise with that. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. If it's anywhere near yesterday, it'll be a spectacle to behold. But I don't know. I think Cork probably should be favourites, just in terms of what they've done in Munster. But Limerick, I was so impressed with them, Shane, in terms of when they went behind against Kilkenny. And for a young side, they showed a lot of maturity to me. I think they outscored Kilkenny 5-1 or 6-2 in the last couple of minutes. And I just think youthfulness coming here, they'll have no fear. And I have a slight fancy for Limerick, but it's going to be very tight. We're enhancing for offtheball.com/Boyle Sports Limerick. We're pushing them out to 2-1 for anyone who fancies Limerick. And we're also doing a special for new account holders. If you don't have a Boyle Sports account, matched up to £100. So put anything, 10 or 20, 50, whatever you want, and we'll match it. So look, we're trying to entice people in there in terms of Limerick at 2-1. They're an 11-10 chance, but it's going to be a great game. We've seen money all over it. Man of the match has been very popular. I'm just looking down to see who it's going to be. Horgan is favourite at 8-1, Harnedy 10-1. But if I'm back in Limerick, I've got to go with Galan. And I think he might just be the man at 12-1 to be RTE's man of the match. But we'll wait and see.
An anytime goal at 2-1, up from 13-8 as well.
Yeah. So we've loads of enhancements. But look, I hope it's like yesterday. If it's anything like that, I think we're in for a real treat. The All Ireland outright is very interesting to me. Galway now have become, from odds on, they've now been pushed out to even money to win the All-Ireland.
And are they still a favourite?
They are still favourites.
Lads, do you still see them as favourites?
I do anyway. I think if they can get it, as I said, next weekend, if they can get their best team in the pitch, which is going to be a struggle by the sounds of it, but I think that they still just might have enough. If they can get over next week, I just think that the bit will be between their teeth.
Dan, you've managed against both Cork and Limerick this year.
Cork don't fear Galway, but they have to win today, Shane, to get to the final. Plus, Galway have to be clear next week. It's just early to go. I have to wait the final to really call who can win it, like, you know, because if Galway get over the line, however they play, like, you know, last time Galway and Cork met in Northern Ireland final, Cork beat them. So, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios here, like, you know, but I guarantee they won't be thinking of that. But it's clear now, smell blood, to be honest with you, as I said earlier. And they won't fear Galway up and told us. But look, it's interesting. But anyone in the four teams there are capable of winning this All-Ireland this year.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a bet, Clare are 9-2 to win the All-Ireland. I mean, there's no reason why they should really be 9-2 and Galway be even money to win it after watching yesterday's display. I know Galway had a lot of wides, but the way Clare fought back, they showed a lot of guts, a lot of determination. The two lads playing today are both 7-2 to win the All-Ireland. So it's more open, Shane, than what we thought it was before yesterday. Like Galway were 4-11 to win yesterday, and in the replay, they're only 4-7, whereas Clare were 3-1 to win yesterday, and they're only 7-4 to win in Thurles next Sunday. So they've definitely come closer after yesterday's performance, and I think Clare might do Galway in the replay, especially if Joe Canning's not playing. Huge loss.
That's the thing. Like, if Galway are missing players, like, you look at Clare, everyone seems to come through okay, and they've got subs like Aaron Shanahan, Ian Galvin, Jason McCarthy all coming in making an impact.
Yeah, I think Shanahan is a massive plus for that Clare. He's been outstanding previously until the injury. He was the man of the moment. He's a big man too. He got the goal yesterday. He's a big addition to Clare. So he's a young Galvin there as well. But I think Shanahan, for they kind of need when they had to go long for their two big inside with Conlon and Shanahan, he was the man they bought on. They come back from a crucial ligament and come on and get a goal. That'll tell you the importance of him to Clare. He's a fantastic target, man. Will he start next week? It's probably a bit early for him to start next week to bring him on again and get him fresh into. But I think the Clare Brinch really have, Fitzgerald came on yesterday, got 2 or 3 points today, I think, really took the game to Galway again. Yeah, and do you know, Clare now, after getting the management blow there, we have to say to themselves, that's, we can beat these fellas, like, you know, and if the injuries are the injured, if Joe is missing, or if McInerney is missing, or whoever's missing from Galway, like, you know, but they have a great panel as well, but like, they have a great chance to clear next weekend.
I know you're under pressure for time, Leon, but just before you go, could you tell us, where will you be putting your money today and next Sunday?
Well, I've backed Limerick to win today.
Not everyone happy with that.
No. Well, look, listen, come here. It's all about opinions. I'd be very happy for the draw anyway. But I think Limerick might just do it. I think it's a puck of a ball between the two of them. And in the All-Ireland, I had to say Clare at 9-2. I don't see that big of a difference between Clare and Galway after watching yesterday. So for value, I think Clare are a little bit of value. And I think there might be goals today. I think it will be a shootout. I agree with Tommy. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, and that's what people want to see. You'd love to see all the football counties taking a leaf out of hurling counties' book and just have a go, because then we'd really see two great championships. But the Super 8s have helped football, but they're nowhere near the class
There's
of hurling
no room
at the
for
moment.
Football talk in this show. It's the hurling show.
Ah, well, listen, there's always room for football, especially being a Dublin man. There's plenty of room for football.
Okay, thanks very much, Leon. Go enjoy the game, and we'll chat to you later.
All the best.
Just to come back to you, Paddy, you've been working as a guard for the last year or two, is it, at this point?
Yeah.
So can you tell us, like, how much of an impact has that had on you trying to, you know, your work-life balance, you know, as a hurler and a guard? Because I'm sure you're walking the beat at all hours.
Yeah, it is. I suppose I've been at it 2 years now, and the first year was grand. Like, you know, I suppose the way the championship structure was, you play a game, you might play it for 3 or 4 more weeks, so you could plan out your time off and stuff. But this year was just crazy. Like, from the middle of May to the middle of June, we were playing 4 weeks in the bounce, and then we were in the league till the National League final. So it was constant. So you're trying to organise time off. It is very difficult. So, you know, I did find it very challenging, I suppose, this year, and it's maybe something I'll have to look at for the next couple of years and try to tweak things as, you know, try and get the best out of whatever year, a few years I have left. It's very challenging. But look, it's something I have to work with myself and move on with it.
Were there times when you'd be working a night shift and then you had a championship match the following day, or was it ever that drastic?
Oh no, I wouldn't be doing that now. But
pulling in favours.
No, yeah, I'd be tweaking that a bit. But just for instance, like simple things, like, you know, recovery is so important in games now, and especially when you're playing week in, week out. I remember we played Wexford in their lights in Thurles in the National League match in February, and I'd gone to work that night straight after. Like, things like that is just. It's very hard, like, you know, and you're waking up Sunday morning then after being up till 3 or 4 in the morning after playing a game. Like, if you went to bed at 11 o'clock after playing the game, you'd be broke up. Like, never mind walking around Limerick City running after lads until 3 or 4 in the morning. It's not ideal, but again, it's something to just look into the future, all right.
You must have been recognised by a few perps now and again. Have you any funny interactions with people from being a guard?
Some of the lads below in Limerick, all right, would notice, yeah. As you wouldn't expect to notice, you would notice, yeah. And you've been known a bit, but again, when you're decked out in the uniform and you have the cap on, I make sure I have the cap down pulled over my eyes anyway, trying to avoid all confrontation with a lot of them. But no, it's not too bad down there, and the way their year was going, I'll be trying to avoid all them for the rest of the winter, anyway, if they win the All-Ireland.
Did you have one lad recognise you there recently? He was in filling out some forms.
That's correct. I was inside in the working in the office in the front of the station, as every station does, and this lad came in. Obviously, the lads that are out in bail from court or whatever that is, and one lad came in to sign on, and he just, in his strong Limerick accent, asked me, you know, do you play football? He says, and I said, I don't know. He said, you do play football? And I said, I don't play football. And he signed his name and whatever he had to do. And he said, you do play football. I played against you before. I said, I didn't play football. I don't play football. So he left the station. He was back in the door 2 minutes in a rush. I said, there's something wrong here. Next thing, the office was full of people. And he roars out, 'tis hurling you played. I knew you played. It was hurling you played. I'm after looking you up, he says. And he spotted me from somewhere, but he did it wrong. But it's gas. Like, you wouldn't expect it from them kind of lads. But no, again, I said, I was trying to divide them all at all possibilities. Mm.
So speaking of the law, there's actually a quote from you last year, Dan, where you said, I don't know where I'd be without hurling. I'd probably be locked up, to be honest with you.
Probably right, Shane, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
I suppose.
I wouldn't have put the cuffs on you, right here.
You wouldn't catch me, Paddy. You would, but no, I just to be honest with Shane, sports means so much to me. To be, it's done so much for my life, to be honest, just since I was a young age. But like, only far, I'd know where I'd be, you know, what I'd be doing or what I'd be involved in. Like, you know, and at least the GA, it brings this thing to that, it keeps you social, it keeps you motivated and your head strong, like, you know. But like, you know, I see it there with the lads at the moment, like, how these lads train and stuff like that, like, and what it means to them. But back in the day when I started in 96, 97, you could go away, play a league game, have a few drinks after, and go to the week after and do the same training to play away again. But again, to be only for the GA, Shaney, I'd know where I'd be freaking locked up, I'd say, to be honest with you, because I would know where they, my mother would be worried every weekend where I'd be, not anymore, but someone else be worried about me now, but where I'd be staying and stuff like that. No, but again, the GA has been brilliant for me, as in, I love playing the GA, I love being involved with the lads I was involved with, or being involved with my club, like, you know, it keeps me on the straight and narrow.
We've plenty of comments coming in, and you can keep them coming in on the social media. Lads, all this talk about Limerick, are people forgetting who are Munster champions? Mark and Kilmallock. Is Dan sick of talking about that photo of himself and Derek McGrath crying after the All-Ireland final last year? That's Paula and Greystones, are you?
Ah, yeah, some photo, to be honest. There was two photos ever taken. One that myself and poor Justin at the time, that slap in the back, and that one with Derek, like, you know. So that, yeah. I said that photographer's out to get me or something, but no, that was just...
It's some pout. You could be a lipstick model or something.
Yeah, I've got a lot of names to be lips on, but I can't say it. But no, it was just at the time Derek cried, and I just put on that face then just to say I was crying. Nah, it was just emotional that day, lads. When you, the work we put into it together with the boys, you look, probably looking across at the boys and Derek, and very emotional on the boys, and I just felt for a bit for a while that day.
Well, just to look back at your 4 years with Derek, is it 5 years actually? Yeah. 5 years with Derek and Waterford. How do you reflect on that now? Because it seemed like you had an unbelievably close bond with the players, and more so than usual, even.
Yeah, Shane, our first year, to be honest, it was Derek came to my place there and asked me would I get involved, like, you know, and with a few lads, Willie Matter at the time was there, and Frank Flannery and myself and Derek, and you know, the boys stayed for the first year and did their own thing after that, and I didn't get promoted, but Derek came to me then and asked me would I do a bit of coaching, and from then on, Shane, I haven't looked back, to be honest with you. It's easy coach lads that are willing to work. So it is, like, you know, I've enjoyed every bit of it, and I don't know what the future holds, if to be honest, you know, whatever the story is in Waterford. But look, to go down and give so much of my time up to try and make the lads better on and off the field, it was a pleasure. And I think we can honestly say hand in heart that we've done that ourselves in our management team with the last 4 years, and even with the boys there in the first year. I've seen lads become fathers, I've seen men, boys become men, that kind of thing. Like, I've seen them grow and mature and win awards and stuff like that, like, you know, and to be involved with that when you see lads getting hollers the years or all stars, it's nice, to be honest with Shane, but like, you know, it's nicer when you win trophies. We were lucky enough to win a league and Tip Cottas and 2 Munster titles and Galloway obviously last year, but it's all about winning trophies. No one ever remembers all stars, to be honest with you. Well, they do, but they remember what you've won as in Munster titles and league titles and all Ireland titles, like, you know. But I've loved every bit of my last 5 years in Waterford, like, you know, and they've been tough. We've good and bad days, and like any sport, like any player, so it is. But I've absolutely loved it, been enjoyed with the boys. They're a pleasure to be deal with and on and off the field.
Do you have any particularly fond memory from that time?
I suppose it's hard. It's getting maybe the Cork game last year here, with respect to Cork, we're getting to getting to the All-Ireland final was outstanding. To win the league again, to win a trophy with myself being a coach and Morris being on the team was probably a high thing for the family, a nice thing for the family. You know, probably know more about Ronan as well. Like, you know, but it was nice that to win a trophy with these bunch of lads, unreal. Or to, like, when the final whistle blew last year against Cork, to get to the Ireland final was unbelievable. Like, you know, and I think we gave it all in the Ireland final. We were just beaten by a better team by Galway that day, to be honest with Shane. And look, there are a lot of memories I have, Shane, with these bunch of lads, like, you know, and to get into Munster finals again was nice, but it wasn't nice. It's a lonely place coming off Croke Park there last year, being beaten, or a lonely place coming out of Limerick, being beaten by Tip in Munster finals, like, you know.
So what do you do with your life now that you don't have to, you're not plotting and planning with Derek McGrath every evening?
I get locked up. No, I just, I go away with the club, as I said, like, you know, I find it hard. I do my own bit of training myself, Shane, like, you know, I go to the gym there if I can, like, you know, and stuff like that, just to kill the time, like, you know, and to do that training there 2 or 3 nights a week with my club. So that keeps me going, like, you know, and also I like watching different things and stuff like that. Maybe go and watch, if Tour of Stars were near playing a game, I go and watch them, or watching the junior football game in Farfield or something like that, just to go away and clear the head and, you know, and watch other sports is usually what I do now.
Pat Ryan seems to have ruled himself out as the successor to Derek. The way you're talking there and your love of it and going watching matches all the time, it sounds like a man who wants the job himself.
I know, I wouldn't be able to fill Derek's boots, to be honest with you, Shane. Obviously, I don't know what the situation with Pat Ryan is, whether he's there or not. That's not my department. I leave that to the hierarchy, the county board, to look after that. And look, I haven't ruled myself out as being involved with the boys, depends who comes in, whether they want a new setup or whatever they want. Like, you know, and I can understand whoever comes in if they want a new setup. Totally, I understand that. And look, I won't be out of hurling. There'll be something that's pop up for Dan Shannon.
Paddy, you went back hurling with the club a couple of weeks ago. A very unfortunate injury for your club and county teammate Billy McCarthy the other night. Can you tell us the extent of it as far as you know?
Yeah, Shane, as far as I know, he's still in hospital blowing Waterford, and yeah, it is very unfortunate. He was flying for us, you know, he'd a good first year with Tipperary there as well. He was really, he was learning, like, you know, you could see that in every game. He was developing, he was getting better. So very unfortunate for Billy, dislocated his knee, and then there's obviously going to be ligament damage coming from that as well. So that's him probably gone for 2018 with us. And look, for himself, it's just about getting his own head right now and getting the rehabilitation done after, if he's to get an op or whatever during the week, and try and get himself back in aim, hopefully to get back for, try and get back for National League with Tipperary next year maybe, or even towards the end of it if he can. It'd be great to see him back because he's really developing. You know, he's a different kind of player to what we kind of have in our club, and even with Tipperary in ways, he's a bit more of a Michael Fennelly type player, you know, and he's really developing that way. So it'd be great if we can see him back next year and fully his health, and he's a fit man anyway. He's naturally fit, so you'd be hoping that last stand to him.
And how's Lara Hurland this year?
He's grand, yeah. He's probably fitter than he ever was. But no, he's grand. I think he broke his finger there a few weeks ago, but he's nearly back as well. So like Lara, he's usually time he's run well for the important matches.
He's done it for years. Dan, there was an incident with Kevin McStay a couple of weeks ago against Donegal. He came on the field. He was, I suppose he had a coming together with the linesman, and he has a 12-week ban. Now, there was the incident with Tipperary where the umpire gave the goal for Jason Ford, saying Austin Gleeson carried it over the line. Afterwards, you were given a piece of your mind to the umpire, we'll say. How difficult is it to control your emotions? And do you look back on it and think, I shouldn't be doing that? Or are you thinking, we put so much into this?
Yeah, it's a good question, Shane. As in, at the time, like, you know, I thought we were wrong at the time, like, you know, and it goes to show we were proven right, like, you know, that it's such a big decision for us that on the day we had lost our first game, and to come over beating Tipperary with the injuries we had would have put us on the road. But all we had to do then is to beat Cork in our last game to get to a stage, like, you know. But it wasn't to be. I did get very animated after the match, as in I went to the umpire, like, you know. But when you put 5 years of your life into this, and that decision being made, and maybe the one after where the referee overruled the free and a point for a free again, it was hard to take. But I did say apologise on local radio, and I got a text after on Milan telling me, you should never apologise, you were dead right to do what you did.
Really?
Do you know, so that really, like, Derek took it the other way, didn't he? Derek was calm out after it, like, you know. But I'm probably different to Derek, where I'm very passionate about the lads that I'm involved with. So is Derek, don't get me wrong, and everyone is. But I just went out to the linesman, and I thought he screwed us, to be honest with you, and proved it did. Like, it didn't cost us our season, Shane. We cost it ourselves with the loss to Clare and the loss to to Limerick and Cork, to be honest with you, like, no, but that game would have really set us up going into the other games, like, you know, and especially into our last game, knowing a victory would have qualified for the quarterfinal.
Do you think you'll ever be back with Waterford, or do you walk away thinking, right, we got close, and maybe that'll be something that'll bug you forevermore?
Yeah, it does at the moment. Like, you know, when I see with respect to Cork winning trophy, Seamus Hannan lifting Munster titles, and maybe not Ireland title, and you're thinking to yourself, God, our lads are as good as these lads. Like, you know, and Paul, like you said, and Tommy said, there's nothing between these teams. Absolutely nothing. Galway took their opportunity last year. So it's up to the one of the four teams this year to take their opportunity. These opportunities don't come around, because I guarantee a Tip and Waterford will be back in this fray next year. As with Clare, with the injuries they had, or with Shannon got back, and there's one or two more lads to come back as well, as will Galway and Wexford. And you mentioned all them teams. There's nothing between any of the teams, Shane, and you must take your opportunity when you get it, like Galway did last year.
We have a couple of more comments in. I haven't had a chance to proofread them, so God knows what they say. Eamon Murray on Facebook. Could you ask Dan, did he give his twin Sergio Ramos a few pointers in how he done Mo Salah in the Champions League final? He's done a few lads in Thurles over the years.
Ah, jeez, I know that, but...
a confident Gordon Carroll on Facebook. Will Cork be playing in the final? ? Eamon Murray, could you ask the lads, will the longer break that Cork have from the Munster final go against them like it did against Waterford last year? Does that break make much of a difference? Because in 2016, Tip were the first team to have that four-week break after winning Munster and go on and win the All-Ireland since, I think, 2004 or 5.
Yeah, I'd be taking the break every year, because that means you're winning the Munster final and you're moving forward. Like the Cork lads are going to come up here today and they're going to be absolutely, as Tommy said, the bit's going to be between their teeth. They came up probably last year and didn't perform the way they wanted. I suppose Waterford didn't really let them away, but they're going to come up here and prove a point. And again, like, you know, it's very so hard to call this match today. Then all the talk is about Limerick, really. From where I am at the moment, all you're hearing is the Limerick talk. But like, Cork are two in a row Munster champions. Like, they're going to want to make the next step up and get to the All-Ireland final. And, you know, as I said, I don't think the 4-week break, if anything, the way the Munster Championship was, it's going to help them and get lads back fit. Obviously, we heard that Harrandy could be struggling a bit, but other than that, like, they're going to be fresh, they're going to be mad for road, and they're going to want to right a few wrongs that, you know, happened here last year and maybe the last number of years up here in Croke Park.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think John Moyler and his backroom team give Cork the week off after that match, and the only two ones obviously played the Wednesday after and they won that. So I think they got the rest of the week off, so they got really 3 weeks to prepare for this. Like, I think if Cork have learned from last year, like, let's not forget, Cork were in the game last year until Damien Callaghan got sent off. So they were, like, you know, and I think that was the change in the game. Would Waterford won the game if Damien stayed in the field? I think we would have, but it made it easier for ourselves to push on when Damien went off. Cork went up, got 2 points straight away. They thought they'd bait, and all of a sudden the floodgates opened after that. Like, you know, and have Cork learned from last year's defeat? And if they have, they have a great chance today.
I see a quote from John Myler saying, when you're winning, it's very enjoyable. You're in Thurles, there's no problem. Everyone is tapping you on the back. But they'll effing kick you in the arse. They won't be long kicking you in the arse if you're losing. Paddy, what do you make of that sort of comment? Because, you know, you've been through the ringer with Tipperary.
Yeah, I can see where he's coming from, all right. We've got plenty of that as well over the years. But, look, I suppose, you know, coming from the likes of proud counties like that, like with Cork, you know, there's a high expectation down there. And they're probably, you know, are they second in the Roll of Honour, or are they leading?
Cork are second.
Cork are second. Like, you know, they know nothing but all Ireland, you know. And you can really say the same for football as well over the years. Like, you know, they're a proud county down there, and expectation is going to be high, and the supporters are going to want to win All Irelands, and that's basically the way it is. Like, I know I see their Tipperary as well. If you're not getting to, if you're not winning All Irelands, well, then there's question marks being thrown at you as why you're not. So that's just part and parcel of putting on a Cork jersey or a Tip jersey, whatever it is. But again, I know where he's coming from, but at the end of the day, I don't think the Cork players themselves, I know I've seen Coast and Patrick Horgan there over the last week or that, he's been there over 10 years. He wants to win All-Ireland, nothing else. Like, if they're beaten here today, or if they go out and lose in All-Ireland final, he said, sure, what good is a Munster final? And he's right, like, you know, a Munster final is great for a team that wants to make the breakthrough. You know, like as you said now, Clare, it'd be great for Clare to win a Munster final. They haven't won so long. Do you know, you've won a few Munster finals over the years, you know, so next step for you.
And you scored the winning goal. You didn't want to bring it up, did you?
No, 10 was last time. Like, you know, I rate the Munster medal, the second best medal, like, you know, and Paddy is right. When you don't win the All-Ireland, it's great to win Munster, but your main ambition is for any players to win All-Ireland, right? It's a grand fallback, your Munster medal. I'd like to, like, you're on about John Moyer there, Shane. If John Moyer lost his first two games in the round robin, how do you feel? Like, you know, they started well, they got the momentum. And when you're going well, then no one's saying. But when you're going bad, like, the pressure that came on us as a management team, there was a lot of knockers down there and still are, to be honest with you. Like, you know, it's how we deal. I've been knocked as a player, I've been knocked in as a coach or a selector, and personally it doesn't bother me. But it does bother some of the players that have been knocked. And, like, you know, the one thing I do hate about this inter-county scene is other people knocking these players alongside me, and the players that I've been involved, they've worked it in. You know yourself, the effort they put in is unbelievable. To hear some fella that never has been to a training session or do this or do that, like, yeah, and to hear them commenting, it's wrong on these on the lads.
Right, we'll just look for predictions now shortly, but just, like, you're obviously from a backroom team or a previous backroom team that was very analytical, highly tactical, I suppose, from the outside looking in would be a short way of putting it. But Sean O'Donnell was part of the Cork setup last year as performance analyst. He's now gone from Cork to Limerick for this year. How crucial is it to have that? You know, even in terms of puck outs, patterns of play, does that give Limerick a huge advantage?
I definitely think so.
In what way? How would it manifest?
I definitely think so. I think, first of all, it gives, like, I know that Cork know this, but they'll probably change their, obviously, their focus strategy or whatever they have to do, knowing that Sean O'Donnell knows the stuff he knows. But I think Nash knows too. You know, he was heavily involved in that, and Nash, I read it something during, in one of the papers during the week, that he was the main man behind Nash's puck outs. So it's in Anthony Nash's head too, this man knows my stuff as well. So I think this Brian Hurley is with the goalkeeping coach in Cork. I think he is a Finbar's man. They obviously have to come up with a different plan and stuff like that to counteract that, like, you know. But knowing what he knows and what he's going to bring to the Limerick backroom team, about the Cork lads on and off the field, let's be honest, their personalities and stuff is massive. So it is massive for the Limerick management to recruit such a man, having the way it fell for him as well, being having Cork in the semi final, like, you know. But again, like, you know, I looked at a few of the stats. Like, Pat Hogan's after getting 140 something this year. Seamus Harmony's after getting 314. From play, in all the games. Like, if them two lads are healthy, lads, for them, they have a serious chance. But I think other lads step up to the mark. You look at the other side, Gillan is after getting 120 something, and Morrissey is after getting 25 points from play in four or five, six games. That's four frees.
And just to get your prediction, so what way are you going?
Draw.
I think if
Cork have learned from last year, I think the ball is in Cork's court. Have they learned from last year's defeat to Waterford? Because they won't get a better opportunity with respect to Limerick to get to a final, because it's going to be a hell of a game. But in the other rest of Limerick are saying the same thing. We have Cork here. We drew them below in Páirc Uí Chaoimh with 14 men, with Declan Hannan going off after the first 10 minutes of the game. So they see that. Can Damon Callaghan, will he start fullback on Flanagan? These are the big questions, Shane, that Cork have to answer, I think, more than Limerick, because it was a home advantage for Cork and they had the 15 against 14. They didn't play the sweeper well that day. Young Coleman didn't play the sweeper well that day. So he didn't. And I think Limerick created their own space with Flanagan inside one against three. Sometimes he was able to create that space. And I think if Cork can get in top in the backs, they have a massive chance of getting to the All-Ireland final.
Paddy, you've played against both these teams this year. Who's going to win it?
It's actually so hard. Like, if you asked me there before the quarterfinals were played, I would have said Cork would have won. I've been fancying Cork. I said it was a Cork Galway All-Ireland all day. But now we just do it. Way Limerick have heard the last day. It's so hard to call. Like, and the draw sounds a nice bit there with the lads in Boyle Sports. But like, people are forgetting, like, Cork are probably are unbeaten all year in the championship. You know, and no matter whether they're playing well or they haven't played to their standard that they're set for themselves, they're still unbeaten. You know, they're Munster champions. That has to count for something. Their confidence has to be high in that dressing room. And again, you know, from playing Cork the last 3 years in a row, like, their puck outs and Nash is the key, like, you know. And no matter how good a half back you are, how quick you are, midfielders, they have a strategy for puck outs. And if you cannot break them down, they're going to destroy you all day, because that's what sets up the Cork game. I know it well from trying to run around after Luke Mead and Kingston, these lads. It's a nightmare, like, you know, and Conor Lehan. So if Limerick can somehow break down the puck out, I'd give them a chance, a serious chance. But if Cork can get the open spaces that they want, it's a shootout. I just give it to Cork.
Okay, brilliant stuff, lads. I think that's all we've time for here today. So my thanks to everyone, to Boyle Sport, to the Off the Ball team, to our guests Tommy Walsh, Dan Shanahan and Paddy Maher. Thanks very much, lads. Enjoy the game.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.